I'm honestly so tired right now. Like,
bro, that was me last week. Last week, every day, I was just making it through, bro. I was struggling.
Like 3 days, Nike Indoor Nationals, bro. Like, that was tiring, bro. Like, the first 2 days, like, honestly, I was cool. The last day, like, it was the lightest day to me. Not the lightest, because the first day was pretty light, but it was like kind of light. But now I'm just like, I'm crashing right now, like, bad. Like, dude, I can't wait to go home and just sit on the couch. Like, I'm talking about, like, home, California home. I can't wait.
Yeah, that meet is no joke, bro. Last year when I was at it with you, I was indoor and outdoor. It's so much going on there. Just so many kids to work with. You're giving out a lot of energy to talk to people. You probably talked to like 1,000 people over the weekend.
No, I did almost like, I think I did like 40 interviews. And I did 40 interviews. I announced T helped me with the chain. So he did like 20. So I did like 20 of the chains and T did like the other 20 or whatever it is. But it's cool though, because you're a part of that their special moment. And that's what I like to reflect from it. Like, that is a memorable moment for each one of those kids to win a national championship and you get to announce their name. That's pretty dope. That's pretty dope. That's pretty dope. Yeah. Well, you ready, Aaron? Get into it.
Let's do it. Let's do it, man.
I'm Joshua Potts, Mr. Possible, always with the brother with the same mother, Aaron Potts, Super Hot Potts, and you're watching and listening to your favorite two black runners every single
Tuesday. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was a good one. We back for another podcast for you. Super exciting. We got a really special guest I'm excited to show y'all, but we're 1 week away. I mean, not 1 week, like 6 days away from my debut in the marathon. So it's a pretty exciting week over here, man.
Yeah, it's crazy, bro. Like, your journey to LA 2028 starts this Sunday, bro. You're going to be running possibly the course, the Olympic marathon course in LA 2028, bro. You may be in the trials 4 years from now. That's insane.
Hey, man, I'm out here for research purposes, you know? gotta get some learnings in, you know, for my own experiences, but also for this commentary, you know? I'm going to know the course in 2028. I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to know which parts are hard and which is easy. So, yeah, it's going to be a good time.
No, I'm dead, bro. That is definitely nothing. You just got to go out there and survive, bro. This is not... 3 hours to go into it.
I mean, it's gonna be cool, man. I mean, last week was not a good week for me running wise. I've been very up and down in this training. Like, last week I was just super busy with work, people coming in. We had the Black Employee Resource come in. We did a round table. Some of y'all may have saw a post on LinkedIn from me, because we also, like, I was a highlighted employee. So there was just a lot going on in my work world. That took a lot of energy out of me, but it was all really good things. Like, met some people that I work with that I've known for years, but I never saw them in person. And
yeah,
whenever we did talk virtually, it was always like real talk, because it's the Black Employee Resource Group. So you're like trying to help each other out. You're talking about things you can't typically talk about with your other coworkers and stuff. So it was super cool to like see them come and have a stage to tell their stories, bro.
Yeah, so we really want to get more into that today, everybody listening, and just go more into like our personal lives. Aaron's running, going into a big accomplishment, a big accomplishment in his running career, a big, not accomplishment, what's the word? What other word am I looking for?
I don't know.
A big milestone in your running career, completing your first marathon. So I thought it would be, and we're having a great guest on that's going to dive deeper into that marathon talk, somebody that will be at the LA Marathon hosting the event. We're going to get to that in about 10 minutes. But before we get there, Aaron, I wanted to share, both of us, let's share one high, one low, and one hope. So one high from last week, one low from last week, and then one hope for this week coming forward, to just do a podcast for the real ones, let people know really where we're at. Track and field's been crazy, but let's take a back seat for a second, go behind the curtain. And some people want to know, like, what's going on in our own lives? Like, we busy right now and everything. So you want me to start, or you want to start? How do you want to do this?
You start off.
All right. So my one high from last week, I think has to be, dang, we were just talking about Nike. Well, I'll go for a specific point in Nike Indoor Nationals from last week. And I would say meeting up with Riley Blade, like saying what's up to her and really all the California kids. But I was meeting up with Riley Blade. We talked about her before. She goes to Santiago High School, one of the best milers and two milers in the nation on the girls' side. This past weekend, she ran, I think, 10:01 for 2 miles, ran 4:46 for the full mile. And like, her high school is 20 miles away from me and Aaron's. And when I coached against her and my team in the same league and everything. And I was talking to her parents this past weekend, and we ran into the owner of, well, the president of NSAF, Josh Rowe, who I was working for this weekend as well at the Armory. And her mom was just telling Josh how like we were her first interview, her freshman year. Like, that was the first interview she ever did at Inland Empire Championships.
That's
and
so
now,
funny.
And now we're both in New York at Nike Indoor Nationals. And like, I've elevated since then. She's elevated since then. And that's just like, it's amazing to see like where life just takes you, you know, and just like hard work and dedication from on the track and off the track can get to you anywhere that you really want in life, if things that you're passionate about and you dream of every single day. So that was an incredible moment. And just see all the California kids. There was a lot of California kids at Nike Indoor National. So that was dope to see.
Yeah, well, what was your one low?
I thought we were going to go back and forth.
You want to bounce it?
Let's go back and forth.
Yeah, so I already kind of talked about it. For me, my one high was definitely last week, the Black Employee Resource Group at Deckers. If y'all didn't know, Deckers is the parent company of Hoka. So the Black Employee Resource Group, I've been a part of it for like basically my whole entire career. So like about 4 years now. And we had a Black Excellence panel where we brought out employees from all over the country, about six of us. And we basically just had a platform to come and talk about our stories and who really are and what makes us who we are. And it was really cool because a lot of these people I've known my whole entire career, but I've never got to meet them in person. So it's great to be able to, you know, just connect with them on a real level, you know, like when you're mm-hmm. connecting over teams and stuff, that's one thing. But when you get in real person, like you can really break down those walls a little bit more and get a little bit deeper. So that was a lot of fun. And you know, I guess basically during the roundtable, they asked us like who you are really outside of like your job role. And it was a moment where I was able to reflect. And that's a really deep question, you know, who mm-hmm. are you? You know what I'm saying? So you have to really like think about that. And for me, I mainly focused on, you know, my family and my family and my faith and my running. But what was really highlighted was just the inspiration I feel like I talk about on this podcast, like how faith has really just driven me to be a person that wants to put other people's in position and to inspire people. And that kind of started with me just growing up and, you know, my dad telling me he wanted me to be better than him. That's like a turning point, I would say, in my life, even though that's like probably like 4 years old. But I feel like that's shaped a lot of me. So it was cool getting to share that. People were impressed with my speaking skills, and I'm gonna shout out Speaking with Impact because I was definitely in my ready position because it was like a TV set, y'all. Like it was a nice, like we looked like we were on TV. So I was in my ready position for sure. And I was using my hands and stuff like that. People were like, dang, like you're so good. I don't know if it's because you're on a podcast. And I was like, no, it's because I was on that Speaking with Impact, bro. They gave me the secrets, the communication. So that was cool.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that was a dope opportunity. That's a dope opportunity. And be able just to meet those people from work too, I think it's dope. Okay, so my one low. What was my low for the week? I don't know. What was my low? I would say Nike Internationals was basically my entire week last week. But I will say the low was during Nike Internationals, like during the shuttle, like it's crazy over there. That was the first time I was really on like comms. So like I was like, so basically at the Armory, if you haven't been to the Armory, bro, it's a whole production. And like the team there is insane. Like the AV department and what they do, digital media side, is insane. It's basically, they're basically running like, they're basically running NBC Sports, New Balance Grand Prix, Melrose Games, such and such every single day with every single meet where they're saying, take this camera, take that camera, take that camera. And there's a specific run of show for just about every single meet and especially the big meets like this. So I was on comms this time and like was listening in to what's going on. And bruh, it was crazy. And I had a mess up. Well, I don't know if I had a mess up. I guess I'll take the blame for it though. But like, I don't even know. I don't know what was happening, bro. Essentially, what happened though, like the 55 shuttle hurdle girls, like it happened. And then I was giving out chains. So every single winner gets a chain. We're giving out chains to the winner. And then the results changed. And as we did that, so
come on now.
So then we had to take the chains back. I'm like, bro, it was crazy, bro. It was crazy. And I'm just all like, bro, I'm not the one that's supposed to be, I'm just supposed to be giving out chains. I don't take them back. You feel me? So like that was a low, just that entire process. I didn't go deep into it, but like that entire process of like messing that up was just like, I was just like, dang, bro. Like, what am I supposed to do? After that, I took a step back. You feel me? We're kind of smooth sailing. But like during that part, I was like, dang, bro. Like the shuttle hurdles, it's just a messy event, bro. It's just a messy event.
They had you up there like Steve Harvey, bro.
Oh, for real, man. That's crazy. For real, man. I didn't end up announcing though. We almost announced. And like they had to call us back. But yeah, I was almost up there like Steve Harvey, bro. Said, Miss Columbia. It's like, hold on, Steve, what you saying? Like, oh,
I mean, for me, the low was just I underestimated how much the toll that, you know, this Black Excellent panel was going to take on me energy wise. So everyone, we did the panel on Wednesday, right? I think we did it on Wednesday. And then everyone came on Tuesday, and then everyone came on Tuesday. The panel was on Wednesday. And then some people left on Wednesday and some people left on Thursday. So I was like a pseudo host since I was the only one from here. And, you know, me, you know, like we talk on these podcasts. So I'm like, I'm just going to pull up and like, you know, I'm going to ask some questions, you know, answer questions like, you know. But yeah. It was more than that. Like we had to do like, you know, sit down and we had to do a rehearsal, like nothing serious, you know, but just like, you know, audio checks and stuff like that. And then we did an Art of Kindness event, basically a charity event. We went back to Girls Inc. It's a nationwide organization that basically like Boys and Girls Club, and then took them out to eat and stuff. So like I was just doing a lot. Like I just had so much on my plate. I was barely able to get work done. Then wasn't getting a lot of sleep because of stuff. Like it was just tough, bro. So that made it tough to balance life-wise.
Yeah.
So I say that was my real only low. Other than that, like last week was great. Like, you know, my mind definitely grew a little bit, but that was the low for sure.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I think there's a lot of things that we can do that just like we underestimate in life in general, and especially when we have like a lot going on and we just try to, sometimes we just got to fit stuff in, just feel like, all right, here we go, you know, like definitely because we got a lot of stuff. And I appreciate everybody that's just sticked into the podcast right now, because like y'all really basically hearing a phone conversation that me and Aaron would have. But like, bro, this is the reality of what it is. Like we filming this podcast, we are just two Black runners that love track and field, and like this is our life, and we want to bring that more to y'all. But lastly, our one hope for this week, and then we'll get into the interview for today. My one hope is just hope that I get home safely, bro. That's my main hope. Get home safely through this week. I finally leave to go back home this Saturday. And this Saturday. That'll be on my birthday as well. So just hoping that Saturday goes great. Praying for safe travels back home. And yeah, just hoping for that. Like my work here is done. Doing all these edits. So if you check on the Armory, there'll probably be already a reel that's up tomorrow. Well, today on Tuesday. So like, yeah, I'm done, bro. I'm just ready to go home, hoping that travel's safe and, dude, have a great time, see everybody, and just it's gonna be fun Sunday.
Yeah, for me, I guess, I mean, my hope is I got the marathon, bro. So my hope is to not bonk, really. You know, just cross the finish line alive, like you're saying. Like, just cross the finish line alive. But really, also, I guess my hope is, like, that I can just stay on top of everything going on, because there's still the planning of, like, you know, getting there, picking up my bib, getting to the start line. Like, I just want to make sure I'm taking care. All I need to do this week is drink a lot of water and get good sleep and cook myself some meals at home. Like, that's what I, if I just do that, like, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be successful. So my hope is that I can, like, take care of those things leading into the race.
Yeah, it's gonna be your first time doing it, like, to that scale. LA Marathon, start from Dodger Stadium and then ending at, is it Century Field? Century Field.
Century City.
Century City. Something
Century
like that.
City. Yeah. Century City. It's like Beverly Hills area, I think.
So super exciting, bro. But the person, as you go in there and you say you want to cross the line, the person announcing your name, we actually have on the podcast coming up next when you cross that line. That is Natalie Mitchell is going to be on the podcast right now. It's a pleasure to talk to her. Another Black person in the running sphere that's been killing the game for years. We get to learn more about her story, how she got into announcing, and so much more. It's a great podcast to listen to, and excited for y'all to take it all in. Aaron, did I miss anything, or we ready to go?
No, we ready, man. This is one of the most amazing voices you're gonna hear over a mic as well. Facts. That's the only thing you missed.
Facts. Let's get into it. Now coming on the podcast, we have a super duper special guest. Aaron is racing the LA Marathon this week. It's going to be exciting. And we got the woman that will be announcing his name as he crosses the line. Plus, y'all know that gets y'all hyped, but plus, she's also a 305 marathoner. She's the co-host of the Sweet Rub podcast. She's a mother of three. She down in Southern California, where she was a University Santa Barbara alumni, ran the team too. She did her thing. Nat runs far. I'm talking about Natalie Mitchell is joining us on the Two Black Runners podcast for a little conversation. Natalie, How you doing?
Whoop, whoop. I love that intro. I am so excited to be here talking to both of you. Let's do this.
Natalie, we got to start off this. Like, I'm thinking about what we have in common. So basically, I was on Instagram. I'm scrolling and I see, oh, this Black woman is announcing the LA Marathon. She has a podcast. And then as I start researching you, I'm like, wait. She went to UCSB, and I live right down the street from UCSB. And then I'm like, wait, the podcast is with her husband and their son. They coach their son that also, like, runs distance, runs the mile and stuff like that. So I don't know. That's just crazy how much we really have in common here, you know, just to start off.
I know. You know, it's funny, before we hit record and we were, you know, talking about Santa Barbara, and I was like, oh my gosh, one of my all-time favorite places. Spent 5 years of my life living there, you know, being at university and running there, cross country and track. And, you know, so much of my, you know, early 20s, it was formed in Santa Barbara. So love it. So beautiful. And as we were saying, you can never complain about the weather, because it's always beautiful. So yeah, I'm super, you know, honored to be a Gaucho alumni.
It's amazing to have you on the podcast, and somebody, and it's kind of serendipitous, you know. We're kind of extending. Well, not, I shouldn't even say extending, because Black History Month is every month. Let's say it. Let's be for real. But like, last person that we had on, Tony Reed, He had the Breaking 3 Hours documentary for all the Black women under 3 hours. And for someone like you that's run 305 on that journey to sub three, hopefully to still get there one day, it's really a serendipitous for you to be on the podcast with us and like to have this conversation. But let's talk about race announcing for a second. I want to go there. How did that happen? How'd you get into it? Where does that story kind of go back to? Does that go all the way back to when you started running, or where does that story start?
You know, if the origins of it are that, you know, I was a voiceover actress for a long time. And so
This makes so much sense. I'm sorry.
I should call it that.
When I first listened, I turned on your podcast just to listen on to like for like 1 second. I was like, wait, hold on. Wait, this is like, this voice is insane right now. Like, I was like, you have a beautiful voice. I was like, this Thank is super you. Clear and everything. Like, she has to do voiceover work or something. But yeah, go ahead.
Bye. Yeah. So when I graduated from Santa Barbara, I did, you know, entertainment work for a little bit. I worked on movies and TV. And then at one point I decided I didn't want to be an entertainment executive. And somehow I landed taking a class at UCLA Extension for voiceover. I had done a little bit of voiceover as a kid. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like there's like something calling me to take this class. And then that exploded into all these different classes and private sessions, which ended up landing me an agent and just going all over LA and auditioning for a lot of commercials and animated series and just a bunch of different things that I was really blessed to have. And that whole journey has brought me here to race announcing. And it's kind of like, it's funny too, because the whole time I was a voiceover actress, I was also running a lot. And I never put the two together. It was just kind of funny. It was like, I basically was working an entertainment job. And then I would go on my lunch break running to auditions. And then I'd be fitting in my runs in between all of that. And I never put it together that I could marry the two until way later. And so now it's just, it's kind of like a new thing for me. I haven't been doing it for a long time. But it's really been like, it kind of exploded. It was kind of like, okay, can you, you know, I announced for one race. I did the Long Beach Marathon. I've done the Santa Monica Classic. I've done the Surf City 10. And I just did the Rose Bowl Half Marathon and 5K. And then I'll be doing the LA 5K and then the LA Marathon. So it's just been kind of like one thing after the other. But I will tell you the story about the LA Marathon and the power of connections and people and friends. Mm-hmm. So the reason why I got the LA Marathon gig is because of another Black woman who recommended me to the people at the LA Marathon. So Ingrid Walters. Do you guys know Ingrid?
She's one of the girls. She's Broken Three. She was on the sub 3 hour documentary.
Yes.
Ingrid, she's the one from out here, right?
Yeah. She lives in Santa Monica. Like we live right now, you know, down the way from each other. And she's a phenomenal athlete and she's an actress as well. But anyway, so this past summer, she texted me and was like, hey, the race director for the LA Marathon is looking for a new race announcer. And he didn't want to go through the whole like cattle call process or like, you know, have this whole auditioning process. Mm-hmm. He just kind of wants to like talk to some people and get a few names. And I gave him your name. I think you'd be perfect for this. And I was just like, what? I was stunned, you know, and just very honored that she would think of me. And so that's how it happened. Like, immediately they were like, hey, we want to have a meeting with you. Did the meeting and boom, they were like, let's do this. And it's the McCourt Foundation. So they have the LA Marathon, the Santa Monica Classic, the Rose Bowl Half Marathon. So it's kind of an all of a series. So they signed me up for all of that. It's just been, and then along the way, I met someone else and ended up doing the Long Beach Marathon, which was really fun and actually a really good way to get my feet wet before the LA Marathon, because it was a big marathon as well. So yeah, just the power of people and connections. And I just feel really honestly so blessed and like it's all been able to come together. And sometimes in life, you know, it takes you a long time to like figure out where your path is going and how to get there and like what your purpose is for doing certain things. And then suddenly it's like, boom, it just hits you in the face. You're like, oh, I was supposed to be, and you know, doing this, and all of that, that whole journey has brought me to this point. So, yeah.
I love that. And it's so powerful that you mentioned Ingrid Walters being that, being one of those connections for you. For our listeners who may not be familiar with Ingrid Walters, she's one of the women that's been under 3 hours, but she's a amazing actress. Like she's been on, she was on Baywatch, she was on Amistad, she was on Higher Learning, a classic. She's a cancer survivor. Am I right about that too? She overcame cancer and came back to the marathon. She has an incredible story. So that's powerful, but it kind of takes me back to like the reason, a big reason I just did this thing for my job, like where I answer questions about the podcast, and we always get asked about the two black runners, like that's our name, and oh, how do you guys share perspective and things like that. So it makes me think about like why we do what we do here. And one of the main things I can stand on for two black runners, and I always will, is like we come here, and I would say we speak for all black people. We just come here and we're just ourselves and we share our perspective. But what I really always want out of this podcast is for someone listening or watching that looks like me to just see me and be like, hey, there's like a place for you in this running media platform type of world. And I feel like you're someone that's very representative of that. And your story is going to open a door for someone else, like Ingrid's opened a door for you, and how we've done that. It's important for us to do that for each other, but also to be able to share those stories of how you got to where you are, you know? So that's a really beautiful a moment that you shared, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, I want to say one more thing about Ingrid. She actually won the women's open division of the LA Marathon in 2019.
That's not that long ago.
That long ago. And so she is phenomenal. I'm so happy that we, you know, it's so neat. You know, there's, you know, we've talked about this so much, and then 2020 happened, right? And everything exploded, and suddenly everyone was talking about race and representation and all of these things, and which is a very important conversation to have. But I love people like Ingrid and you know, myself, and we can like connect and meet and talk and grow. And you're right, like other women and other people and kids will see that and think, you know, that's possible for me too, or I want to do that, you know. And I can't tell you how many people at races now that are of color that look at me and their smile just like gets a little bit bigger, because they're like, oh man, that's so cool that you're doing that, you know, because you don't see, yeah, you don't see a lot of people that look like me on the microphone at a race. So yeah,
yeah, a lot
I feel blessed about that.
And a lot of circumstances too, it's just like, it's just confirmation. Cause like they're already doing the thing. And then just to see someone else, it's like, man, like we really out here, you know, like we out here. And that's such a great thing. And I think we'll talk about more of that in the podcast. But before we do, like, I want to go back to this connection of just running simply, because I think that's a big thing that we like to talk about on our podcast as well. The fact that Aaron has parlayed his running career to a job at Hoka, a career really in marketing. And then I just got out of school, but I'm working in the corporate world now. Technically, like, look, dang, I'm low-key in the corporate, huh, Aaron? Golly. I'm
no, you color. Are. You are. You in it.
Dang.
You're big time.
Yeah, you at the armory, bro. What you mean?
That's awesome.
working at the armory, like, just the opportunities that can like come through the running industry, but that's somewhere that has to start, you know. And it was running something that was always in your family from the very beginning, or when did you start running?
Yes. So my parents were not like, they didn't run races, and they were not professional runners. They just liked to run. They liked to be mm-hmm. outside and move their body. And so from a pretty young age, you know, 6 or 7 years old, they would bring me along with them. I was an only child. So it was like, I went everywhere they went. So when they would go on a run, I would go on a run too. And I just immediately loved it. I loved being outside. I loved feeling dirt on my feet and just playing in the grass and running. And sometimes my dad would take me to the track and I'd run around the track. And it never was something that I didn't love. And so then I ran in high school after that. And then I ran in college, and I unfortunately got an injury in college. So that kind of really cut my career short. So I don't really know what my potential could have been in college. Social media wasn't what it is now. Right. And so I wasn't looking at all these people and thinking to myself, well, I could run after college and maybe I could see what I could do on a higher level after college. I was just kind of like, oh, well, you know, I want to do a marathon at some point. Mm. So then shortly after college, I ran the LA Marathon. And then I ended up going on to run that 5 times and then had some other marathons, you know, sprinkled in there as well. I ran, you know, Boston and Chicago and some of the other local marathons that I love around here, like the Ventura Marathon and Mountains to Beach Marathon. And then, you know, the kids started coming. And so I kept running through as much as I could through my pregnancy and having kids. But I didn't really take it like the marathon part of it that like seriously competitively about what I wanted to do in the sport until after I had my last kid, our third. And then she was probably a year and a half old. And I just thought, you know, I'm ready to kind of see what I could do in the sport. So I ran the Ventura Marathon when she was 18 months old. I didn't have a coach. You know, I followed a plan online like so many people do. And it went fine, you know. I think I ran like 3:32 or something like that. And I had my three little kids with me, and it was a really great day. And then I thought, well, I had started my blog, and you know, people in social media was like, you know, people were buzzing on social media and people were having running coaches. And I thought, well, maybe I should hire a running coach to give me more of a specialized program and attention and like really see what my potential could be. So I hired a coach, and yeah, it's just been kind of going from there. I think maybe 3 years after that, I set my sights on, you know, wanting to go after sub-3 and just kind of like, it's just a fun goal. I'm like, I want to see if I can achieve it and like what it would take. And I think I can do it. I just don't know what the timeline would be. And I didn't care. It's just a really fun goal to have. So that's just been kind of like, since then I've changed coaches and I have my coach now. I loved my coach then. I love my coach now. And we're just having a really fun time. Like I'm balancing a lot as so many people are, you know, I'm balancing the kids and my son, Josh, he's a big time, you know, he really loves cross country. That's his first love. And so we're really into that. And now he's running track right now. And so I'm doing all that and my girls and then the podcast and, you know, and all that. So, but anyway, yeah, as far as running, it's so important to me. I run every day and, you know, I have this goal. And so I'll just keep going until it happens.
Oh, that's really cool because I feel like your parents, they had that same type of mindset of just, they were out there and they were enjoying, you know, being athletic, and it set the same standard for you that you're now showing upon to your kids. But I also wanted to ask about your husband. Did you all meet while you were at UCSB, and was he a runner as well? Because I think it's really cool that you all are on this podcast journey together.
Yes, I know. It's like very much like, you know, we have our husband wife relationship, and then we have this business relationship where it's really funny to hear like fly on the wall. It's kind of like he does the editing and all of that. And like, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I love it. I love it, but it's definitely like we're business partners. But yes, so we met. So my husband, Gerald, is a Bay Area native. So he was born and raised in Berkeley. He went to St. Mary's College. He ran track there. He played basketball there. He did not do distance. He did not do cross country. He was a 400 meter sprinter. He didn't end up running after college. We met at a wedding in Laguna Beach 4th of July weekend. His really good friend that they've been friends since they were like 11 married my girlfriend who went to Santa Barbara. And they met, and we had never met before, but we met at their wedding that weekend. Mm-hmm. And it was like a complete cliche, like that doesn't happen, right? I mean, yeah, I'm like, yeah. I had been at that point, I had been to so many weddings. I was never like, oh, I'm gonna meet someone at this wedding. I just did not think that at all. But we ended up kind of getting set up by my girlfriends. I didn't know about it. And yeah, and so we met, and I thought, well, he's a really nice guy and he's really handsome, but I'm not interested in dating someone who lives in the Bay Area. Like, I just don't want to do a long distance dating thing. So that changed pretty quickly. He was, you know, he just called right away, and we just really just hit it off. And so, yeah, so we started dating, and then we were traveling back and forth every weekend. And then he ended up getting a job transfer to LA. So he moved to LA and he had his apartment and I had my apartment. And then I was training for the LA Marathon. So long story short, he was secretly training for the LA Marathon. So
that's what I was going to ask you. I was like, he started running distance quick, huh?
Yeah. He kind of like got roped into it because I'd be like, oh, you want to go on a run?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I really like this girl. Like, I'm going to start running longer distances. So we got engaged at the LA Marathon, which is kind of funny. It's like a complete full circle moment that we got engaged at the LA Marathon, and now I'm going to be announcing for the LA Marathon. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Wait, that's he really like, cool. He ran with you and then at the end he proposed or?
So he's secretly trained. Then he walked, at that time you could walk the person to the starting line and it was a little more loose, I guess. And he was like, oh, surprise, I'm running the marathon. And I was like, what? Like, cause he was like, I would never run a marathon. That's insane. So I was like, and you know how it is like when you're on the starting line of a marathon that you've trained for, like you're focused on that. You're like, what? And it was pouring down rain that day in LA. Like, you know, it doesn't rain here, but that day it was like crazy rain. And so I was like, it was raining and I'm like trying to get ready for the race. And I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking about? So he shows me his number and I was like, oh my gosh, that's great. But like, you know, I was like, that's really great. I was like blown away. So he's like, you run your race because you've trained. And I had a group that I was running with. And he's like, just meet me at the finish line so you can cheer me on when I cross the line. And I was like, okay. And that was it. The gun went off and we were basically like, bye, you know? So I finished the marathon and then I was like, oh, Gerald is out there and he's running. I have to like wait for him. But I knew he was going to be longer than me. So I went and got my photo taken and talked to some people and I came back to wait for him and he still wasn't there. And then I was like, oh, I better make sure I stay warm because it was really like it was cold and it was still kind of raining. Yeah. So long story short, I ended up not feeling well. I ended up, they were like, you need to go to the medical tent. I ended up having hypothermia.
Oh, my gosh. What?
So I'm supposed to be at the finish line waiting for him. That didn't happen. So they kept me in the medical tent for a while, and then they released me, and then I went back, and then he wasn't there. And I was like, where should I go to meet him? So I went to the hotel, and he was there. So he ended up, you know, bringing me to the side and was like, I was like, I'm so excited that you ran your first marathon. Like, this is such an important moment. Like, this is amazing. And he was like, well, actually, you know, I ran it for a reason. And so he ended up proposing in front of all these sweaty runners at the hotel. So, it was.
That has to be nerve wracking for him. He's like, man, she had a bad day. Like, this is not the right time to be proposing. I thought this was going to be a good idea.
Especially like when I wasn't there. And like,
yes.
Yeah, he was kind of like, because he had told my only person he told was my mom. And he was like, just make sure she stays at the finish line. And so I got separated from my mom. And so he comes across, he's like, where's Natalie? And she was like, I don't know. And so it was like, you know, that's really crazy. Man. But it was a really, really special moment. And I loved it. So,
yeah, I was just concerned about him finishing the marathon than having to get down on one knee. So I think it worked in his favor that like he had some time to rest, because I don't know if he would have got back up. Like he may have locked up or something. You know what I mean? Like,
and he was not in that great of marathon shape. Like he was kind of haphazardly training. So it wasn't like it would have been a big deal for him to probably, I don't know, get down on one knee right as he crossed. But anyway, it all worked out. So,
but I think that's perfect transition into this, because I don't know if you would consider Aaron haphazardly training over the past couple of months, but Aaron's over here about to run his first marathon. About 2 weeks ago, he wasn't saying he wasn't feeling so good. Do you have any advice for Aaron before he gets into Aaron? If you want to speak for yourself, I don't know if you feel me. I don't know if I disrespect you by any means, maybe saying haphazardly. If you want to speak for yourself as well before she gives you advice, how are you feeling, bro?
I wouldn't know. My question more so would be about like, what would be your advice now that we know that story too, for a fan perspective, for a family that I have or people I have coming to watch, like are there particular spots or advice you have for that? And then racing advice is, I don't know, what parts of the course should I look out for, I guess?
Yes. Okay. Several layers to this. One, my jaw dropped because I didn't realize this was your first marathon. I'm so excited for you. Okay. I cannot wait to cheer you on and call your name as you cross the line. So that is really cool. Two, they have changed the LA Marathon course a lot.
Yeah.
So it has changed a bit since that time when we got engaged and I ran it. But and now it ends in Century City. So it ended downtown LA, then it ended in Santa Monica, which we all loved that ending by the beach. They had some issue with the city of Santa Monica or whatever. They couldn't come to an agreement. So now it's ending in Century City, which is Beverly Hills adjacent, which is a great finish line. As far as spectating, I would say have your family like look on the map and just like, you know, really good spots would be like Sunset Boulevard, you know, like all along there. That's a great place to cheer you on. There's a lot like, you know, the Man's Chinese Theater and like all those LA landmarks that are really cool would be a great place for them to cheer you on. Of course the finish line is great, obviously. You know, the thing I think, and I'm not quite sure how to navigate through this, but I think it would be cool if they were kind of like within the first 10K, they could see you at the beginning, but then they'll have to make sure that they can either one, get to another spot and then see you at the finish line, or they might have to go right to the finish line. Cause I don't know how the traffic, you know, would be and all that. So, you had another question too. What was the other question?
Any tough, I guess I was going to ask you like toughest part of the course, but you know, everyone tells me you finish going uphill now. Because you go down San Vicente and you have to come back up. So, but the course has changed so much. I was like, what are parts of the course I need to look out for?
Yeah, the LA Marathon course is hilly. So just know that. I think if you have put that in your mind, and you might have already done that, but like,
yeah,
it's hilly. LA is a very hilly city, but it's really cool. There's tons of support out there. I would say like in that Hollywood area is, you know, just, you know, be aware of that. There's like rolling hills there, but I think it's not going to feel that bad. You know, you're used to running here, right? So there's hills everywhere. You run in Santa Barbara, there's tons of hills.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be that bad. And there's so much hype and excitement in that area. And there's music playing and bands and like all this stuff. So I think you're going to be good. Just enjoy it.
I think so. I'm there for the vibes. I'm there to have a good time.
Yeah.
I thought I was like injured for a little bit. I had to take some time off and I got sick. But at this point, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And I'm excited to complete my first marathon. So I could just have that experience of what it's like doing a marathon, especially, I know it's not a marathon major, but it's in a major city. It's in LA. So
yeah. Yeah. It's definitely like a big deal here and people, you know, really come out for it. It's interesting too. Like I've often thought like why They've never made it a world major marathon. You know, it's the second largest city in the United States. So it's a, definitely a big, you know, big deal here. It's a big race, but just enjoy it, you know, and soak it all in. And the first marathon is like the most special. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good. How's your training been going? I mean, like, did you have a good training cycle?
It was all right. Like, my goal is really, my goal originally, when I was first like training, starting off, I was like getting to a point in shape where I was like, oh, I'm about to, because at first I was like, I just want to break 3 hours. But as I was like training more and more, I was like, oh, I might be able to run like under 250. But nice. At this point, I had to take time off and everything. So I'm just going to pace myself and get under 3 hours. I did like my longest run was yesterday. I ran 17 and a half, like to get a 2 hour run in. And so, you know, the hay's in the barn, as they say. At this point, you know, I got one more long run and one more workout, really. But there's not much that's going to make me worse or better at this point, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm actually really excited for it.
And I think, Natalie, it's one of your quotes is expect success. Is that one of your sayings? Expect success?
Yes, that's so funny that you brought that up. So my first coach after going back, you know, and having kids and deciding to, you know, do the marathon that I, you know, worked with, that was from him. And so he would tell me, expect success. And I just was like, that resonated with me so much because it's like, I feel like, you know, you go through this training cycle and you have ups and downs and hiccups and this and that. And you're kind of looking over your training at the end, you're getting ready for the race. And you're like, I'm ready to like, let's do this. I'm ready to lay this out there. And you just want to make sure that you feel confident because you know, you've done the training. And I just love that. Expect success. Like if you expect it and you go in there, like Aaron, you go out there and you know, like I'm doing this, like, it's happening. I'm going to have a great race. Expect success. And when you put it out there, it will happen. So I love it.
Aaron, you hyped, bro. I'm hyped. Wait, hold on. I'm going to have to get on the line.
I feel like I've been on that attitude, to be honest. I feel like I've been about that. People have been worried for me. And I'm like, nah, we're going to be good. Like,
we're going to be good. Did you have a coach or did you self-train?
No, I just self-trained. I read a little bit of some books, but yeah, I've also been running since like I was little, like my dad was coaching us and everything. So I'm not too far removed from, I'm not nowhere close to where I was when I was competing, trying to be like elite. But the more I run, and I just have to stay healthy at this point and fit it into my schedule, like you're saying, I have so many things going on. But the more I run, I'm like, oh, I'm lucky. I'm really not that far away from where I was, especially if I could have, I just have to have a sustainable lifestyle and training plan. I don't have to do a million miles or crazy workouts. I just have to be consistent. And like, I'm still holding on to some fitness that I had from a couple years ago, which is a blessing and it's amazing. So I just want to get the most out of it. Like, I want to be able to just go run an LA marathon, you know, or do like a random race in a town because it's like a gift that I was blessed with. So that's what I've just been about this entire year and just going forward. So that's a big reason why I'm doing it.
That's awesome. Now, Joshua, are you going to be there cheering Aaron on? Yeah. And what's up with you? What's up with your running?
Dang, why you gonna put me on this? That's crazy.
Put him on blast, man.
No, I'm gonna be there. So I leave New York. I leave like officially. I'm going on the 16th, and so the next day, the LA Marathon. So I'll be there on Sunday. I'm gonna be tired because I have a red eye, but I'll be there for sure. And my
birthday is on the 16th too.
Yeah, my birthday's on the 16th too.
So oh, perfect.
March is busy time. But actually, since we brought this up, let me tell you guys my idea. This is my next journey and really what I want to do in my running. So like, well, not in my running, my track and field journey. There you go, field. I want to learn the long jump and the high jump. That's what I want to do next. I did field events as a kid, but I want to do long jump and high jump. I want to experience the life of somebody doing field. And I feel like that'll give me a greater perspective. And I think if I do long jump and high jump, like those are two, like the field event, like there's two different types. You jump over a bar, pole vault or high jump, or like you just have to like, you have like one big, you have one big attempt where like you can just foul by hitting a line or something, and long jump and high jump kind of cover those two things. So I think that's my next step, but we'll see. I run here and there. I ran a 800 at the Armory just for fun, like a month ago, or just almost like a month and a half ago. But that's what I want to do though. I'm trying to get in the field. I'm trying to get my, get in the sand, the dirt.
Okay. I have a quick story for you guys. This is really cool. You want to hear this story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So not this past weekend, but the weekend before, we were at Agora High School because my son Josh was racing the mile, and it's now named the Tara Davis Woodhall Invitational. And it was funny because I was looking at it and I was like, I think they said Tara Davis. And I was like, why does that sound so familiar? So anyway, we get there and I was like, oh my gosh, this is
that
incredible.
Tara Davis. Yeah.
That Tara Davis. Like, so she was so sweet. Like, we ended up chatting with her and talking, you know, to her and her husband. And like, they had made the bibs with her image on the bibs. Oh. And so she was talking with all the kids because she's an alumni from Agora High School. So that was so cool. And then she just won. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
She won the world championship, the indoor, for the long jump. So she's on fire. I can't wait to see her at the Olympics this summer. Like, we talked to her mom. It was really cool. So yeah, go for it. Do the long jump.
Yeah, come on. I'm going to be like Tara Davis on the runway, man. I'm going to be excited.
That's right.
I'm going to get my duck mask and my cowboy hat and all my Tara.
I know. I love her cowboy hat. Oh.
But as we start closing out on this podcast, I do want to ask like two more questions. One question was, we're about like, what is it, 10 days or 12 days as we're recording this, as this releases, we'll be about 5 days away from the LA Marathon. What is just your preparation like for preparing to announce? Are you just going through names, looking at pronunciations? Like, what is the preparation like?
How many names do you have to announce? Like,
very good questions. Oh my gosh, you guys. So it is a big production. We are going to have tens of thousands, you know, I mean, there's what, maybe 18,000 runners. And so, you know, it's definitely a very big responsibility because I'm co-hosting with a man named Eric, and we did the Rose Bowl half marathon together. So we've gotten to know each other, and we also did the Santa Monica Classic. So we've getting to know each other, and he's really cool. But anyway, there is a big responsibility because, you know, people train, they have paid their money, they're here in the LA Marathon. It's a big deal for them. And so you want to make them feel so welcome and, you know, hyped up and just like they're finishing a freaking marathon. Like, it's such a big deal. We're also going to be doing the, you know, calling out the charity half marathoners as well. And then we'll be doing the 5K runners on Saturday. So the plan is, well, one, for my preparation, we have a meeting coming up in a week. So we'll meet with the whole team and we'll kind of just talk about probably everything from the elite runners and, you know, like you were saying, like pronunciation of names to just the total amount of runners and what we're expected to do. And then that weekend, we'll do the 5K. And then for LA Marathon Day, we will be at the start. So it's always a very early, I'm usually up at like 2:30 in the morning, just like getting prepared. And we have our scripts and like, we have to, you know, I'm just so focused on that. And like everything that they want from us is, you know, as far as sponsors and talking about the sponsors of the LA Marathon, because that's a big deal for them, as well as all of the runners and any special stories and legacy runners, people that have run every single LA Marathon. There's so much to take in. So you really have your notes and you know, are prepared. So LA Marathon morning, we'll be there at the start, and then they're going to have a car for us to take us to the finish in Century City. So knock on wood, because LA is famous for its traffic, that we can get there in enough time. They have people, they said they're going to have a couple people on standby to fill in if we can't get there, but we should be fine. So, and then they'll transport us to the finish line. And yeah. And so, basically how it works too, like you have, you know, obviously you have like, you're up in this booth and you have your microphones and you have all your sound people. And so you're constantly communicating with them. And then we have like a teleprompter, and that's how we see the names as they're coming through. So they're usually pretty detailed. Like they'll have your name, like, so Aaron Potts, they'll have your age, where you're from. And so, I mean, obviously it's hard to call out every single person, but like, we really do try to like keep the running commentary going and like, and yeah, hype people up and have fun, as well as, you know, really trying to call out all the names and make people feel good. I mean, you want to feel like special when you cross the finish line. So yeah.
No, it's going to be super special for me, to be honest, especially like, I know now that I like have spoken to you and stuff too, I'm going to be definitely looking. And I'm wondering, wait, who is the man you're doing that with?
Yes, his name is Eric Gilsonen. And
I know him.
Yeah, so Eric is big in the endurance world. So he announces a lot for Ironman Triathlon and a lot of those Ironman type events. So he's legendary in the sport and has been around a long time. So I'm honored to be, you know, sitting next to him. So
he does some work for Hoka. So like, he was actually just up here the other day. I was just hanging out with him saying, what's
oh
up?
My gosh. Okay. You have to tell him that we all talked because he's a bit, he loves Hoka. So we've talked about that a lot, but yeah, he's great.
I still think it's crazy that y'all are going to drive 26 miles and try and get there in like 2 hours in LA. Like that could be a struggle on Sunday morning. But what I also wanted to know too, as we close out the podcast, like, I think the crazy thing about you is seeing how much from just starting at a young age, you know, running, becoming your life, falling in love with that sport. And it's become so much of your life now, as you're like your mother and with your kids and with your career and like what you do, it's like you're consumed by running. And I think a lot about our podcast and everything is showing the opportunities that can come from just starting to run in high school that people don't know about. And like, to know that like, you can do a podcast, you can be a race announcer, you can be an athletic trainer, you can be in media, you can work on shoes. There's so many avenues. Just like, talk about, kind of describe just your connection to running and all the opportunities that's given you, and just like wanting to share that advice on to the younger generation as well. And not even just the younger generation, to the people right now that may not even see the opportunities that lie right in front of them.
Yeah. You know, I will say that like in life, when you really are passionate about something and you really love it, you can make it a career. It may not be easy. It may not necessarily go in the way that you want it to. And that is what has happened with me. And I would have never thought when I was in high school, for instance, that my life would be what it is now. I mean, I'm a running coach. I have a roster of athletes that I love that are all training for races right now. So I'm really involved in their lives and helping them become better athletes as a coach, you know, with the Sweet Run podcast, race announcing, and, you know, working with different brands to help just them have more of a notice out there in the running world and working with brands. It's just been, it continues to be this winding path, and like, who knows where it will take me. But I will say to people, like, if you truly do love something, go for it, you know, use that love and hone your business skills and, you know, just do it, you know, because it's like the worst thing that could happen is like, it doesn't work out, or you just end up, you know, you take a job doing something else and maybe do it on the side, or maybe you decide that running is a career, maybe not for you, but you want to be an athlete and be in the sport. But I'm so passionate about that, because I think in life, it's like, we are expected to do these things. Like, we go to college, maybe we get our master's degree, we're expected to get this career, and it's this 9-to-5 grind. And like, now, you guys know, now in the world of digital media, like, there is, the possibilities are endless on what you can do as a career. You just have to be passionate about it.
Yeah. No, I love that. You can really, you can really make your dreams into a reality. And you're a prime example of what running can really, what you can get from running, especially nowadays. It's universal for everyone. There's running is definitely like a connector for people, but there's just so many opportunities that lay out there, and it doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, or even how fast you are. And that's what I really like about what that's one of the things I really like about where we're at in this social media running type of age, where, because that's what you're doing is what I am trying to currently do, is where do I fit in this puzzle? Like, and you know what? I'm already in it. You know, I'm already connected to all the other puzzle pieces. I might not be able to put the exact name of what it is, but I think about when you were doing, you know, voice acting and running, and then it just like all came together. And it's been really cool. It's been really cool just hearing about your journey and inspiring. So just appreciate you coming on, and I'm excited to see you when I cross that finish line in LA.
I'm so excited. I hope that we can all meet in person. I will definitely be, you know, excited to meet you guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited that we could do this. And yeah, this is awesome. So thank you.
Yeah, I wish best of luck to both of y'all on March 17th. You don't need to wish me any luck. I'll just be cheering, cheering both of y'all on.
He might have to be driving. So
that's
yeah,
right.
Have to be driving.
Spectating is a big job.
Oh, exactly. Most definitely. If you see me at a cross country meet, I am sweating. I am sweating at a cross country meet. This is a marathon though, so not as much running, but you know, cheering is an enormous responsibility, unlike any other. But yes. Appreciate you, Natalie. We'll meet up for sure. Good luck. I don't know what to say. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Joshua. Thank you, Aaron.
Now, Aaron, you're definitely right. That was the greatest voice probably on the Two Black Runners podcast you would ever listen to. Like crisp, clear, like straight off like a Chevrolet commercial. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And definitely like inspiring too, when you like to go from voice actor to race announcer and to see those worlds collide. That's pretty cool to see how her passion, you know, turned into her work through running. Like, what more could you ask for?
No, it's a great example of seeing how you keep on chasing your passion, keep on chasing your dreams. And even if it doesn't, even if your work doesn't start off as that, eventually you can end up there, especially if you just stay consistent, stay disciplined, like things work it out. And life is long, you know, life is long, like things change and you got to accept it and embrace that change. And I think that's something that you may have to learn this Sunday, bro, in the LA Marathon, that like, and it's something we've been learning from running forever. Like at some points, like it hurts and you got to embrace it. You feel me? And I think you may definitely learn that in the marathon. And as we get out of here, bro, that's basically what this podcast has been focused on, the marathon. What's your final thoughts, man? What's your final thoughts? This last time people will hear from you until the next podcast. Next time they'll hear from you, bro, you'll be a new man.
Low key, everyone is telling me like, man, your life's about to change. Like, what you about to do? I'm like, damn, like, what? Like, what you mean, bro? I'm just going, to me, I'm playing it chill. Like, I'm just going on 26.2 long run. Like, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, final thoughts is I'm going to enjoy, you know, this marathon experience. I'm going to take a lot of video. So be ready for another questions on the run. But yeah, excited to see what comes from this afterwards. Wondering how I'm going to feel about it, you know. Will I do another one, you know? Will I want to go further? Or like, shoot, will I be able to use this momentum to get back into track? So we'll see. We'll see, man. But just know that your boy is going to have a good time. I'm going to have a lot. I'm going to have the most fun out of anyone out there.
You already got the fit picked out. The shorts, the singlet, the shoes.
Going to have the running report singlet on with my Rocket X2s. Still working on the shirts and the socks though. So
with the Rocket X2s, is that the ones that's not the ones that they're running at the trials, right?
No, I just got my CLOX. Yeah, that's the CLOX one, and I just got my new pair of those. So I'm not used to running in them yet. So I'm just gonna stick with the Rocket X2 to play it safe.
What was this is random. What was Raj running in? Shout out your friend Raj.
The 100 miler. I think he ran in the CLOX. Let me see. I don't know. I think he may have ran in the CLOX1, I think, actually. But I will next up, my boy Raj, Javelina 100, for the people that know ultra races, is a big one. It's a 100 miler. I'm going to go to that this year, actually, and I'm going to pace him for 20 miles. So I'm going to learn a little bit about ultras, too.
Oh, shoot. Hey. Duplac runners going global, every single part of the track and field, athletics, running type game. And just where y'all know, like, we just here doing our thing, ain't going nowhere anytime soon. We'll see y'all next week on the Duplac Runners podcast. I think we'll see. We'll make something happen. If you don't hear from us, you already know how we be. You'll hear from us the next week. Cause like, come on, we ain't going nowhere. But appreciate y'all. Thanks for listening in. Aaron, anything else?
No, just make sure y'all leave a review. We need those ratings and those reviews. I know we don't be asking too much, but if y'all could do that, we really would appreciate it.
See y'all next week. Let's get it.